you perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's powerful. It's powerful. Be perfect. How many of you have arrived? How many are perfect? Maybe you made a mistake. Let's look at it again. Be you perfect. No, that's what he said. As your heavenly Father is perfect. So don't be perfect in your way. Be perfect in His way. Exactly perfect as the heavenly Father is. So I drew up here three things. This is the beginning over here. Here's how it begins. Here is continuing, or the middle, right here. Continue in my word, and you'll be my disciple. So here's continue. And here's the end, perfect. So what he's saying right here is be perfect. The end is be perfect. So what is this? What is perfect? Oh, perfect. Like little kids, you have to write on the side of the page like that. All right. Now, so what God wants is to move us from faith all the way to love. Faith active in love. How many of us are lovers? Perfect. Yahoo! All right. So you're mature in Christ. When the disciple is fully taught, it'll be just like the master. So when you're fully taught, here you are being taught in discipleship. And this is always discipleship unto death. So I'll make a little cross here. But that's not Jesus' cross. That's your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Here's Jesus' cross. He died for me. So this one says here, He died for me. So this one is for us. This one says, He lives in us. And this one says, He lives through us. So now, He's for us, in us, and through us. Which one does God want us? And when He comes back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, this is what He's looking for. So how many of us are perfect today? Okay. If you want to have faith, that means you're imputed righteous. And you're perfect in your spirit, man. So that's the spirit. That relates to the outer court. Your soul, man, is here. But your life or your body is here. So this is what He wants. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Every man mature in Christ. Now, is that clear? Is everybody clear about what He's coming back for? So let's say you're here. Not coming back for you. Let's say you're here, not coming back. You have to pass from here, faith, through this death of the soul, all the way to this. That's what He's coming back for, a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So, is that clear to everybody? Now, I want to show you something. This is not what most churches teach. Most churches teach just this first one over here. Outer court. So most Christians are outer court Christians. Now, Martin Luther was wrestling with these things, and he was trying to figure out, well, what is a Christian? What is religion? What's it all about? And in the 1300s, there was a battle between the Pope and the Emperor. See that guy, the Pope over here? He got a little stick there, and he represents God on earth. He calls himself the Vicar of Christ. I represent the Vicar of Christ. And I'm not only, I got two keys in my hand. One key is over the church. And the other key is over the emperor. So here he has the religious guy over the state. Well, the state guy didn't like that. And since he had the sword, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll chop your head off. I'm going to be not just free from you, not just equal to you, I'm going to be above you. And he just went to Rome, captured the guy, and the guy ran off. That was Pope John the 22nd, 1300s. Pope John, you remember the Pope just a few years ago, the big jolly one, the one that was happy? He called himself John the 23rd. relating to this guy way back in the 1300s, long time ago. What was he trying to say? Because this pope said, wait a minute, I'm the head. And this king said, no, you're not, I am. And I got a sword, and I'll just chop your head off. So you better do what I say. For 70 years, the popes lay captive in a French city called Avignon. Can you say that? You'd be Avignon. You have to get that right there. So unless you can speak, you know, good French, you won't understand, because everything now is not Italian. They took them right out of Italy and said, you know, well, we've heard enough of you. Religion was on its way out. This is the last of the Middle Ages. And Martin Luther is 200 years from then, 200 years later. So for 70 years, there were three popes. They had the one that was the pope, and then the king just captured him and said, you're not pope anymore. I'll put in my own pope. So he just made up another pope. Then another guy said, no, I want another pope. So there were popes all over the place. How many know there's no hope in the pope? Couldn't figure out who was the pope. Nobody knew. They called that the Babylonian captivity of the church. Because in the Old Testament, there were 70 years that Israel went into captivity under Babylon. So they said, you know, here's another situation right here. 70 years, the papacy, the popes, are captured by the world. The pope used to be on top, now the pope's on the bottom. Now the king is on the top, the emperor of Germany. Well, one of the problems with all this bickering that was going back and forth between church and state, who's going to be on top? Are they going to be equal? Is one going to be above the other? Everybody's fighting for it. But then these mystics came along, same exact time. Why? Because there'd been a plague and wiped out one-third of Europe. By the way, this is prophetic. But anyway, been a plague, wiped out one-third of the European world. And people were getting scared. Like, hey, what's the emperor doing about it? What's the pope doing about it? Nothing. So maybe religion has no power. Maybe the world leaders have no power. Maybe we have nobody to turn to. Can you see that's kind of like our day? Can you all see this? The mainline churches are doing zip. And then the presidents are just playing games. Everybody's corrupt. Everybody's corrupt. Churches are corrupt. Politics is corrupt. Businessmen are corrupt. Everybody's corrupt. So here's another group right here. I'm going to write this one in German. These are called, right here. This is called Gottes, that's the word for God. Gottesfreund. Gottesfreund. Now skip your French. You've got to do German. Gottesfreund. Friends of God. So these mystics that lived 200 years before Martin Luther, he's got to face all of these groups. So he's looking at these three groups, see which one he'll be part of. He started out here as a young playboy, trying to be a lawyer, make a lot of money. Then he went over here, became a monk. And then he looked into this one here, see if he could get close to God. Now, this group here, they felt there was a kind of a ladder you could climb. You could go from purification to illumination to union. You could actually go all the way up to God. And so they were trying to get up to God, not through the church, not through the emperor. The emperor said, God appointed me. The pope said, no, God appointed me. And this guy said, he didn't appoint anybody. We can go straight to God ourselves. So these guys were trying to get, as just average laymen, they were trying to get all the way to heaven. Not in the world to come, but in this world. So, has anybody here ever had an experience personal? A personal experience with a living God? Anybody? Where you had a personal experience? So, they called this, I'm going to write this in Latin, sapientia. Sapientia. It's a form of knowledge. It's kind of like saying to know something. And then they put down experimentalist, experiential knowledge, or heart knowledge, the knowledge of the heart. You have to know God from your heart, and God up in the heavens, not through the church, not through the emperor, but just me personally, all on my own, I can come to know God. Has everybody here had a personal experience with God where you actually have heard Him, you've seen Him? Now, I've had visions of Him, which means I've actually seen Him. I won't tell you what I saw. I've also heard Him out loud. I mean, I've heard a voice speaking. So I've actually heard God and seen God and had an experience with Him, and they were both very profound, you know, situations. But the Bible says, don't put anything on that. Don't make a big deal out of that. Don't brag on that, because you'll get off. Stick with the Word. So you notice Luther here is reading a Bible. He's reading a Bible. I'll make it green so you can see it here. He's reading this Bible here. And so Luther is studying the Bible. But it's all about Jesus, and he calls that theologia in Latin, crucis, the theology of the cross. Crucis, or crucis. Theologia crucis. All right. Now, Luther feels that this Bible is all about the cross, but he doesn't think you can climb a ladder and know God directly. He thinks you have to do everything indirectly. And what this is teaching is against this church here that says, you can do good works and please God. Luther said, no, I disagree. It isn't works, it's faith. You are saved by faith alone without works. How many know that doing good works and being perfect is hard? Be ye perfect. Remember, it said right in the Bible. Be ye perfect. Well, Luther read that and he said, no, it doesn't mean that. It means that's what Jesus is going to do for you. Then he'll work that in you. Right here. See, for us, he's perfect. In us, he's doing a perfect work. And through us. But, how many here are perfected? None of us. Huh? So, here's the question. You wanted to say, I was perfect over here. That would be in your spirit. So, you could call imputed righteousness perfect. So, I'm going to call that, and you'd be right. This is perfect righteousness right here. I'm going to call that donum totum. Does anybody know in Latin what that means? Donum totum? Donum totum. Total gift. Who said that? That's exactly right. Now, here, over here, it's not imperfect. I'm sorry, I wrote that all wrong. I meant to say imputed, but I'll keep it perfect, because it is perfect. I'll say imputed perfect. Imputed righteousness. That's just declared to you, but you're not actually righteous. But over here, you're actually righteous. Actual righteousness. All right, now, but this is donum partum. What's that? This is totum, a full gift, a total gift. This one's donum partum, a partial gift. And this one is donum partum. So, to the extent that you suffer with Him here, to that extent you'll be glorified with Him here. So, the mystics thought they could move from A to B to C apart from the church, because the church did not have any way of getting you to C. Because you cannot be perfected in a Sunday morning public gathering like this. I mean, you can't get all your sins out here. You could come to faith here. You could hear the gospel and then believe and then say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Yes, you are a Christian. But God never intended for you to begin. He always intended for you to be a Christian so you could become a serious Christian. So you need to continue in my word. If you continue in my word, not if you begin in my word, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And the truth, of course, is Jesus. So the truth is not head knowledge, fides historica. It's not just some kind of knowledge in your head. It actually means that you actually experience sapientia experimentalis. You actually experience yourself personally, the living God. Now, I'm not going to give my testimony, but it is my testimony. I started out having faith in God just through the Word. And I was certain that this Bible, this Word, was true. And I knew it wasn't by works like the Catholics had taught, and most Protestants too. I knew it wasn't by getting involved in the world or, you know, trying to do good works out in the world. I knew it wasn't by being some kind of mystical person, you know, that I would somehow mystically get with God because I learned how to climb the mystic ladder. I knew somehow it wasn't that. And yet I'd had experiences. And so I knew the church was kind of dead in many ways. The church today is a dead church. It's an Orthodox, dead, it's got the right things, no doubt, telling the truth, no doubt, but still they're not living it. You see, somebody who says they're a Christian, but they don't have any life that proves it. There's nothing that shows it. Now, you're not saved by works, but once you're saved, you should have some works. Faith active in love. So, how come we don't have enough C or 3, whatever it is? Why don't we get to here? Because Jesus is not coming back for a bride with spot. You can't have faith and have it mixed with flesh or soul. It's got to be here, pure. Spirit, soul, and body without blame. But most people only have A. They don't have any B. Here, they're mixed up. Your soul is full of sin and salvation. Now, Luther also said, in Latin, simo, that's like our word simultaneous, at the same time. Simo justus, et peccator. Man is at the same time sinner and saint. Does that sound like you? There's one part of you that's sinful and one part of you that's godly. Right? At least you have faith. That's a part that's spiritually you're born again. But you're not discipled yet unto death. You're still alive. In other words, this is forgiving the guilt of my sin, but it doesn't remove it. This is destroying myself. Most of us still have a self. That's why there's sin still coming out, because of the peccator that's still in you. Even here, it's covered and forgiven, but here, it's still active and alive, and it hadn't been killed yet. Because there's no discipleship, because discipleship takes place in the home. You can't do discipleship in a public church. So here, we don't call out clay. You have the sin of, and then I name it. How many know that he has a certain sin? I could name it right here. I could call him out right here. How many know that would be unfair if I did that? Because I might call out somebody else's sin next. Especially those that hissed at him. Oh, what a rotten person he is. And it's true of Clay. If anybody knows him, it's true. He's rotten to the core. Now, but he's a Christian, but he doesn't always have perfect soul. He's simul justus et peccator. You want to say that? Because it's kind of fun to say Latin things. Simul justus et peccator. Simul justus et peccator. Who can do it? Who can do it? Okay. All right. You'll have to go to hell. Okay. Who's next? Who could say it? You have to say it right. I can see there's a problem in this church. But I appreciate your attempt. But you still have to go to hell now. Okay. So This means, at the same time, even though I'm justified, I'm also not sanctified, and I'm not glorified. Justified, sanctified, glorified, ah! That's what God wants. How do I get there? The Pope can't get me there. The Emperor can't get me there. What about the mystics? They thought they could. They started out in purification, then illumination, and finally union. Christ in us. So there was a book written in the 1300s, about the same time that all the squabbles were going on, and these mystics, people like John Tauler, or people like Meister Eckhart, or people, and so on, and they began to write something, and somebody wrote it down, and they called it Theologia. Theologia is a little book. Theologia Germanica. Theologia Germanica. All right? Now, Luther said, next to the Bible and St. Augustine, this is one of the greatest books I've ever read. And so, it had a lot to do with his own training and his own spiritual growth. So, it played a big role, and most Lutherans today are over here. Even though they're not Catholic, neither did they go on like this. So, they don't like this book. So, his follower and assistant, Philip Melanchthon, hated that book, didn't like that book. Well, he didn't hate it. That's not fair to say. But he didn't like it. But Calvin actually called it full of poison. Because it's getting you off of the Word and getting you to an experience with the living God through your heart. But Luther actually said we need that. Religion should not just be head knowledge. It should not just be outward ritual and works. It should not be just faith, even imputed faith. It should also be experienced in the heart all the way, so that you're actually a worshiper of God and a lover of man. Now, most of the mystics prior to this were what they called via, that means way, contemplativa. Via contemplativa. That means they were the kind of people that would get into a closet and just pray all the time and maybe look at Jesus or, you know, look at a cross on the wall or light a candle or something. And they were always contemplating God. Then there's another group called via activa. They were the ones that didn't do a lot of contemplating, but they did a lot of activity. They loved the neighbor or whatever. So here's a group that only studies God and they're of no use to this world. Here's another group that forgets God but is active in the world. Now, there was a whole slew of people called the Franciscans. And the Franciscans were very big into works of love. They said true Christianity is loving people. So they would go among the lepers. They would go, you know, all over the world helping people. If you've ever met a Franciscan, they're always helpful. They're always friendly. They'll do the dirtiest jobs. They don't want any pay for it. They're poverty. You know, they just serve God. And people go, ah, that's true Christianity. But then the Dominicans, they are more the contemplative types, and they study all the time, kind of like I do. And they study all the time, but they also spend time with God. And they don't want to be active in good works for the world. They want to pull away from the world and draw close to God. So a lot of the mystical tradition comes out of the Dominicans. So when the Pope was arguing with the Emperor, and one was trying to beat the other, sometimes the Pope was up, sometimes the Emperor, this group got out of both camps, because the Pope said, I want you to help me, you contemplative types, studying God all the time. Help me actively overthrow this guy. They said no, so he kicked them out. Then this guy said, hey, I want you, Dominicans, I want you to help me get rid of the Pope and weaken him down. No, we won't do that. So everybody hated him. So they became these guys. So a lot of Dominicans became contemplatives. And that now you're no earthly good because all you're doing is studying God. Does anybody have that tendency in them? Just to want to spend time with God? I do. I actually hate people. And I just love spending time with God. I really do. Because God is not like people at all. He's wonderful. But people are horrible. The thing I don't like about people, I can just tell you exactly what it is. They're so much like me. That's why I hate them. I hate them because they're devious like I am. Tricky like I am. I'd rather get along with God. You see, God always loves me, and I like that. I like being loved. Does anybody else like that? But if you get along with people, if you try to work out something with people, people are, they're not reliable. And even if you could find one that was reliable, they die on you or move away. They're just not dependable. So some people find their whole life not in a husband or a wife or children or church. They just find it in God. They're the prayer type people, right? A lot of charismatics are like that. Now, this is water baptism, A. This is spirit baptism. But you remember when Jesus was water baptized? First thing after he was water baptized, he said he's coming up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit lit on him. Now he's spirit baptized. And what did it do with Jesus? Did he speak in tongues? Did he get his leg lengthened? Did he rejoice and get happy? No, it drove him into the wilderness to meet the devil. Now, this literally happened to me last night. I was sleeping, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I cried out, "In the name of Jesus, get out of here, Satan!" Peggy was, you know, sound asleep, and she heard me say that. You know, "In the name of Jesus, get out of here, Satan!" What was I dreaming? Well, I was dreaming that the back door, I had locked the back door last night before I went to bed, but I was dreaming it got open. And I got up and I saw that it was open. This is in my dream. And I went to close it, but all of a sudden, some power was on the other side of the door and I couldn't see them. And they were pushing on that door, and I was trying to get it closed, and they were pushing it, and I was trying to get that closed. Then they turned it like this, and they, you know, we had that door all over the place, and he was even bending the door. And I knew it was Satan, and I couldn't beat him. I couldn't beat him. He was going to come in and take my family, which is Peggy, of course. And I had to protect Peggy from the devil. So I'm fighting with the devil. And she could hear me not only saying, "Get out of here, devil," but before I did that, I was like this. And she could hear all that, kind of waked her up. And then I realized, you know what, I need help. I can't beat the devil. I need Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, Satan, be gone. And then I woke up, of course, screaming. That really happened to me. In other words, what I'm telling you is, miracles happen in my life frequently. I hear God. I see God. I know God. I love God. So I'm kind of like these mystics. However, I'm not like them at all. Because one thing that's wrong with the mystics is they think without the Bible, even though they sometimes include it, you could have a direct relationship with God. I don't believe that. I believe even though God spoke to me last night, and even though I called upon his name, and even though the devil was fighting with me, and I'm dealing with supernatural powers, and I believe in them. I believe in demonic powers. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues, and I sing in tongues. And I love to spend time when I'm alone in the car. I'm just singing to God, and I praise him, and I don't even know what I'm saying. I hope you're all baptized in the Holy Spirit, because you cannot be perfected here until you have the power of the Holy Spirit here, which takes me into death. So this, now I want you, please do not be inspired by what I'm saying. Study this carefully. Look at this very carefully. This is all what Jesus did for me. But this is not the power of the Holy Spirit to make me mature and loving, full of worship. This is the power to humiliate me. Humilitatis. Humilitatis. To cause myself to die. Contritio. Contrition. And these are all medieval terms, but they still apply. This was bringing me in German into what's called Anfechtungen or Anfechtung. A-N-F-E-C-H-T-U-N-G. So Anfechtung is a dark night of the soul. It's where, in order to be mature, you have to suffer. And so this suffering, or this Anfechtungen, is the disciple having no will of his own and learning to do everything Jesus said and be obedient even to death. Now, then after my old man is dead and I've taken up my cross, then I'm able to love. Then I'm able to worship. Then I'm able to minister the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church. Otherwise, I'll still be into Jim. And when I do this, there'll be a mixture of soul and spirit together. But this is only for the spirit. This is not for the soul. So my body should be taken over by the spirit, not with any soul involved in it, no flesh involved in it. Here I was forgiven. Here the power of sin is really the power of self, killing myself. And here I'm free from sin and self and the power of it and the guilt of it, so that the wrath of God is now ended and the spirit of the living God is free. Most people feel this is for heaven, but God wants it for earth. How many know that your marriage should be impacted? You see, if you're still in the flesh, your marriage is not going to work. What Peggy and I need in our marriage is for Jesus to be Lord. This is Savior, A. This is Lord, B and C. This is justification. This is sanctification. This is glorification. Now, last week, I showed you that there's two different churches. The Volkskirche, A, which is public morning Sunday church, and the Freiwilligkeitskirche, B and C, which is the true church, the evangelical church, not the Roman Catholic kind of outward religion church, not the church that's based on works and what man can do and man at his best, not via contemplativa or via activa, but strictly the power of the Holy Spirit living in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Here's where the glory comes out. He does it all. Here, I'm dead, so I can't do it. Here, He died for me before I did anything, in spite of all my sin and all my worthless deeds that I've ever done. But here, He forgave me, then He killed me, and then He lives in me and through me. Powerful. Now, this teaching is dead today. I don't care what you've heard. I can just tell you, there's no teaching on this. And when there is, it's always just legalism or mysticism or rationalism or some form of works righteousness. It is not really this biblical understanding. Luther got a hold of it by putting everything through the Word. He put the Word over here and said, no, it's not works, it's faith. He put it here and said, yes, the king is independent, but he's not over the church. He put it here and said, yes, you should have an experience with God, but it shouldn't be a direct, immediate experience. It should be mediated through the Word. That even if you feel it, doesn't mean it's spiritual. It could be demonic. So Luther was not a mystic. He was not just a this worldly person, nor was he just a religious person in the normal outward sense. But the Lutheran Church followed A and denied B and C. And there's no structure for it in the Lutheran Church. If you were raised Lutheran, you would have no structure. If you were raised Catholic, there'd be no structure. There is no church today, Methodist, Nazarene, it doesn't matter what church, that teaches this. Even though people teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the charismatic movement or the Pentecostal movement, it's just flesh. Everybody wants the security of having an outward church, I'm a member of that church, or I do good works, and the king recognizes me, and I'm well known as a businessman, you're not going to be saved by any of that. Or I had an experience with God, and I'm real spiritual, I don't go to church, and you know, I'm not real worldly, but I really love God. All of that is rubbish. And Luther discovered that what God wants is a little bit of this, but upside down, a little bit of this, but upside down, and a little bit of this, but upside down, based on the Word alone. Sola Scriptura, only the Scripture. Theologia Crucis, the theology of the cross. This must die, this must die, this must die, and only this then can live, because everything is dead. But remember, simul justus et peccator. Even if you get here, it's only donum partum. You're still sinning. Even if you're here, it's still only donum partum. So this is the only thing that's donum totum. This one I have perfectly, this one I don't have perfectly, but it's covered by this one. In other words, if I still sin here and here, I'm not always loving. Sometimes I'm demonic. Sometimes I'm just fleshly. But that's all right, because I'm not going to be saved by that. I'm only going to be saved by this, so I can always run back to this. I can always run back to the gift when I can't follow the example. Did you see that? But what about the person that says, why even bother? Ah, you're wrong. If you're really born again, you don't want to be a baby your whole life. You want to grow up and be a little child, a young man, a mature father, mother, whatever. I want to be mature. That's right. That's true Christianity. And many people today are thinking Jesus is going to come back for them just because they believe. No. He's only going to come back for them if you believe, and it's totally by faith, but also there's a work in the soul, and you've gone through real agony and suffering. Humilitatis. You have been degraded. If you haven't wrestled with God on a daily basis, daily, continually, you're not continuing in the Word, and there's no death. Because this is every day dying, every day living, every day dying, every day living. This is once for all. But this is continuous. So this could only be done in a house church environment. This can be done when you're alone with God. All of this only happens if this happens. So to the extent that you've suffered with Him, to that extent you'll be glorified with Him. So faith is just the beginning. It's not he who begins. It's he who endures to the end. Now, have I made it clear? This is very hard to get a hold of because no churches are teaching this. Am I the only one teaching it? No, I'm sure there are 1,000 others teaching it. I just don't know them. I every time I look to see if a church is teaching this, I'm always amazed that they're not really teaching it. And one of the reasons is not because they're not sincere and they're not smart, is that they really don't know the history of the church. They don't know church history. Maybe they know the Bible, but they read the Bible without thinking church history amounts to a hill of beans. But you're wrong. Church history does amount to a hill of beans. You have to know exactly what church history teaches. And so, if you don't understand, this is today. The emperor and the pope and religious leaders and mystics, all of these ways to try to reach God are all futile. They're not going to work. You can't get it through the outer church. You can't get it through just the state dominating everything like it is now. And you can't get it through personal experiences with God. It has to be sapientia experimentalis, a heart experience, but a heart that starts here and then goes through the soul and then goes through the body until everything is transformed, daily being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us and works through us. Now, how many here are number C? You're already there. In other words, you're not there completely, but you're there a little bitty, 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 bitty bit. You've actually seen some miracle, some work, some love coming out. That's good. That's the real thing. But it's just partum. And one of the reasons is because you can't go very far if you don't have a house church. You cannot do this in any other way. This is exactly the way it was set up from the beginning. Now, I'm not trying to sell it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I don't even care about it. It's God's idea. But God says you can't get there just through an outer court church. You have to have a church in your house so that somehow you're meeting together with a handful of people, 30, 40, 50 people, but not too many more. But most homes won't hold more than, you know, what we have here. It's hard to get this many in one house. But whatever your size house is, that's how big your church can be. And hopefully it's not full of young people, because pretty soon they'll have kids. we have that, don't we? How many of you guys got now? Four. Yeah, see? And when we started, they didn't have any. But just being in that house church, suddenly kids come out. I don't know how that happens. How many of you guys got now? Three? Yeah, we'll keep going. One behind. And so, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the little house church of single young people, and then they're married, and pretty soon children start to come out. That's great. So now there's maybe 40 or 50 people in our little house church, just cramming all together, got all the kids in a bedroom and all the adults out in the living room and so on. It's great. It's how you grow. You grow in real life. You don't grow by mystical, getting in some kind of, you know, cloister somewhere out in some retreat center. You grow by being close to God in the midst of real life. Is it hard? Yeah. But it's not so hard. His yoke is easy if you go through B. B is the problem. You have to be discipled, come under pastoral authority, and be broken. Because you are so tricky and so snaky. You really are. Did you know that? You are. You are treacherous beyond measure. The Bible says that. It says the heart is deceitful above all things. And even though I know you're a Christian A, you're not yet a Christian B or C. You're only partum. So you need then to get all the sin out of your life so that it doesn't rule over you anymore. So I hope this is powerful to you, that what God wants is to go all the way. Amen. To go all the way. And don't worry, there's a flesh inside of you still. See me use this epicata. Doesn't want to go all the way. You cannot expect your flesh to agree to this. Because it's death to the flesh. All right. Now, your flesh is never going to agree to B. It'll be dead in C, so you don't need its agreement. But how can the flesh then go from A to B? It cannot. It'll never do it. But your spirit carries you from A to B. So when your spirit begins to move on you, you can't make that happen. When the cloud moves, it moves. But you have nothing to do with it. Because everything is by God. Now here's the question. Were you born again? Because if so, no baby ever born wants to stay a baby. If you're born again, you want to grow. And the only thing in your way is yourself. The church is not to develop yourself, it's to kill yourself. Until Jesus said these words, "Don't think I came to do my will. I came to do the will of him that sent me." So if you're an A, then you need to get into a house church, a smaller body where it's real, because there you can't hide. You can hide in a big church. You have 1,000 members or 500 members or even 100 members. You can hide. But it's harder when there's only 20 or 30 and you meet every week in the same house or in another house. It doesn't matter what house you meet in. But there it's going to be real. Now, God, this is not my idea. This is God's idea to make the church small, where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst. He did that deliberately. If you were Jewish, you have to have 10 people. Menim. 10 means to have 10 men. 10 men. And that's what makes a synagogue. You can't have a synagogue with less than 10 adult, mature men. But in the church of Jesus, he broke that and said, no, that church will only grow slowly. I want a church that will grow rapidly over the whole earth and sprinkle it like salt. Two or three, that's enough. That makes a church. All you have to have is two people in this church that hear God and hear the same thing that I just preached and say, that's the truth. What you just said is the truth. I know it personally. I have sapientia experimentalis. I have a heart knowledge that what you just said is true, and I've checked it by the Bible. It agrees with the Word of God. That makes a church. You know, you could have 100 people, but only 98 of them didn't hear. They're not the church. But only the two that heard. My sheep hear my voice. If you're one of his, A, then you will go on, and his voice says this, come into the wilderness. Come and die. That's the next voice, not, hey, let's get your life lengthened. Hey, let's get a miracle happening. Hey, let's have a wonderful, happy time. No. The voice of the Holy Spirit is the minute Jesus was baptized in water, the Holy Spirit baptism came upon him and drove him into the wilderness to die. And when you don't eat for 40 days, it's agony. How many know that you can hardly go 40 minutes? But let's say you could eat 3 meals a day. You know, in a lot of countries, they only eat 2 meals a day. In some countries, they only eat 1 meal a day. It's a form of death because you're not able to feed the body. Jesus went 40 days without eating. Why? To prove that he would do the Father's will no matter what. And the devil didn't come to him in 38th day, 39th day. He came to him on the 40th day when he knew he was at his weakest. That's when the devil attacks. Last night, the devil, I believe, was trying to break into my house. I believe he wanted to come in, and I believe he opened the door. And I believe in my dream, I got up and shut him out, and I discovered the truth right there. Even though you're weak, Jesus is strong. When you're weak, he is strong. And I tried to fight him in my own strength. And I remember how he even bent the door. You know, a wooden door doesn't bend. And he was bending that thing. And I remember how curious it was as I was wrestling with him to get that. I was trying to get the door locked back in so he couldn't get in. Like, you're not going to get in my house. I'll lock it. But he kept moving it, so I couldn't get it in. And then he bent it. You know, man, this guy's strong. And I couldn't see him, but I knew this was Satan. So I finally remembered Jesus. How many know it takes you a while as you're a Christian? I forgot. Tried to be strong in my own strength. Satan, get out in the name of Jesus. And I yelled that out so loud that it woke up Peggy. This is in a dream. And when I woke up, because I screamed it out loud. And I didn't know I was speaking clearly. Because in my dream, I was like, get out of here, you know. And I was like fighting the devil. But Peggy said, I said it loud and clear. That shows you something. That even though you think you're not very powerful, you are when Jesus is your power. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit's all about. You have to be able to be baptized, immersed, completely taken over. So that's why the Holy Spirit shows you Jesus so you die. The more I see his beauty, the more I see my ugliness. After you're a Christian, I see my weakness, not in my spirit man, but in my soul man. Until you come to the end of yourself, you have to go through hell after hell after hell after hell after hell after hell after hell. Sevenfold. Until you realize, I'm nothing. And some of you are so stubborn that you'll go through and you'll think, I'll fight this thing. You can't stop anything. Come on, you don't have any power. I could not stop the devil. I tried to lock that door on him. I couldn't. I didn't have the power. I'm a Christian. That didn't help. Then I remembered. I say what Jesus taught me in the Bible to say. Satan. That's how he defeated him. But I wasn't thinking last night. I wasn't doing anything. It was a dream. In a dream, you don't have any control. In a dream, you don't know what's going to come out, right? But out of my mouth came this loud voice. And Peg woke up and thought I was in trouble. Who are you fighting? Satan. You know, I mean, it's just like she came right into the dream. Because I believe Satan was after my wife. I really do. I believe the reason I was fighting the devil, he wasn't winning, but neither was I. But the reason I was fighting, because he wants my wife to be destroyed. You see that? God wants to protect his wife, his bride, his church. That's the picture. The devil's trying to get in. He hates this teaching. He'll even make the sound system not work. I'm serious. I'm not joking. He'll do everything he can. He doesn't want people to come. He doesn't want people to hear this message because it's too powerful. Because mysticism won't get you there. And the state won't get you there. And the church won't get you there. And religion's not going to get you there. You have to do it God's way. He set up a certain way, and that's the protocol, and that's the way it's going to be. Now, that's powerful to me. Because there are people out there in the world, and they are wrestling with the devil and losing. There are people in the churches, and they're wrestling with the devil and losing. The devil has an easy doorway to get into every church. He can break into every home. He is able to take over this world one after another, and there's no one to stop him. And human strength will never do it. Human wisdom will never do it. Human power and capacity will never do it until the self is dead. So that's why we have to go from B to C. You can't just get out of Egypt and go to A and camp on the other side of the Red Sea. You have to get over the Jordan. You have to go through the wilderness and get over the Jordan. That's between B and C. And be filled with the Holy Ghost so that when you go and face the giants in the land, they're not in the wilderness, but they're in the land. Now, we're not talking now about spiritual giants. We're talking about real ones. That is, not spiritual that are real, but physical that are real. There are giants in this world and no one is throwing them down. We're having economic problems, political problems, social problems. We're having religious problems. We are having a world full of problems and nobody has the power to be able to stop what's going on in the world. You're just watching it happen and they're helpless. Everybody's helpless. You can even see your politicians are all corrupted and they're just passing the worst kind of legislation and they have no power. You can call them up. They don't care. Nobody's doing their job. Nobody cares what the Constitution says. Nobody cares what the laws are. Nobody cares about the church. Nobody cares about anything. Every man for himself. It's anarchy. This world is becoming a lawless, satanic world. And there's no power in the churches. And I'm going to say this. Don't misunderstand me here. You are relying too much on you. Thinking you've got security in your church or security in Pastor Jim or security in your faith or security in your knowledge or your beauty or your whatever, you're wrong. You need to go through B and find out there's nothing in you. You don't have the power to do anything. And the churches today, stop securing yourself on the history of the church or what happened. It's junk. He's not going to come back for such a church. He's not going to come back for a harlot church mixed. He wants no spot, no wrinkle, no such thing. Every man mature in Christ. That would mean everybody in this church has to be mature. See. Oh, we don't even have A's. We barely have A's. I don't even know if we have A's. But one of the reasons why you can't tell is because nobody's been through B and rejoicing. B should be a time of joy. Good. Let's kill off my flesh. Let's get rid of all my lust, my anger, my bitterness, my jealousy, my foolishness. Let's get rid of myself until I'm no longer running the show, till I'm no longer in control. I see men trying to wrest the power from their wives, wives trying to wrest the power from their husbands. It's ridiculous. What would happen if you did rule the house? Would it be any better? No. How many know that as a woman, you don't know anything? And as a man, you know less than nothing. You don't know anything. Men are idiots. We're complete idiots. Could I hear an amen from a couple of the men? Yeah, men know it. I mean, women don't know it. Women feel a lot stronger than men, but you're wrong. If you ever took over, man, it'd be chaos. I'm just telling you, that stupid man you're married to, that pervert, that jerk, he's actually smarter than you are. But you think you're brilliant. You think you're smart. You know how to take over. You don't. Just because he's an idiot doesn't make you brilliant. Did you hear me? So don't dump the guy because he's a jerk. I'm sure he's a jerk. So what? That's the way God set it up. That was meant for you to turn to God, not to him. He's not a God. He's not pretending to be a God. Let him alone. Leave him. Only God can grow up a man. And a wife that thinks, I'll love him into it. You're wrong. You don't have the kind of love or spiritual, you know, whatever. To move a snail. It's nothing. I'll just love him and I'm sure he'll see my love one of these days. Yeah, sure. You don't have it. Well, maybe the children will appreciate me someday. What other illusions should we go through? Anyway, the point is you need to go through this fire, the baptism of the fire. How many of the wives don't know what they're doing? How many wives know that? You do not know what you're doing. You don't know. Only God knows good and evil. You don't know what good is. You don't know what good is. How do you know that that man isn't good for you? You don't know. So stop. Well, I know one thing. That you don't know anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So you don't know and you can't do. So you got to admit. I want all the women to say that. I admit I'm ignorant and impotent. and my love is worthless. Thank you. Now, all the men, I know that I'm ignorant and impotent, and I can't do a thing without God. Okay? So now you need to go through B in order to get it all burned out so that you can go on to C. So the mystics had it right. There should be what they called purification. That would be A. And then followed by illumination. That would be B. And then followed by union. That would be C. But how you get there, they can't, because they're trying to get there directly through that little ladder. But there is no secure ladder to climb on. There is no personal, because the self isn't dead. You know, their whole message is kill the self, but they're having the self do it. And even though they say it's God, it's them. We are tricky. We are treacherous. You can say you're worshiping God. If you ever met anybody that's spiritual, they're also no earthly good. Simo justus et peccator. You are at the same time justified, A, and peccator, B and C, which are mixed. There's some spirit in B and C, but there's some flesh in it. And it isn't purified until the trumpet sounds. It will never in this life be purified. You'll never be perfected in this life. Under the law, nothing is perfected. But neither is it under the gospel until the trumpet blows for C and B. You have A. That's your one ace in the hole. Jesus loves you. And this is love. Not that you love God, but that God first loved you. We only love C because we went through the hell and the fire and the suffering and the humility of B. You say, Pastor, you don't know the hell I've been through. That means you haven't learned a thing. Here's how you would respond to suffering. Thank God I was so strong and so wicked and so nasty. Thank God, as a Christian, the Father who loves His Son chastens Him. I needed that chastening. And I'll take it again and again until I'm dead to this world. And I rejoice in my suffering. Not, oh, my first husband was a mess. And my second husband was a jerk. And my third husband was a pastor. I'm telling you, that was the worst of all. You should have stayed with the first husband. It was a drunken bum and a pervert. That was the one you should have stayed with. Because that's the one that would drive you to Jesus. That's the one you needed. Are you hearing me? You just tried to escape that death. Stay with it. Stick with the original. Stick with it. Go back and fix the dirty one, the lousy one. Now, if you're already remarried, stay with the jerk you have now. Do not move on. Stay with that idiot you've got. I'm telling you. I'm sorry. I'm not exaggerating. Stay with him. It doesn't matter. The bells didn't go off. So what? You don't need bells. What you need is hells. You just need that. That's what you need. Because why? Because God's not after your flesh. I mean, your spirit. He's after your flesh. It's not hurting you that somebody's awful. That doesn't hurt your spirit, man. It only hurts your flesh. It's just your pride and your holiness and your morality and your goodness and all your baloney. God wants to burn all that out till there's nothing left but Jesus. How many know Jesus is in full control of this world? I don't care how much Obama wants to do. He can't do anything unless my Jesus says it's okay. I don't care what the bad guys want to do, the Zionists, the bankers, the whoever the bad people are, forget them. They can't do anything. I'll tell you something else. Just like the devil last night at my door, I couldn't take him, but he couldn't take me. And I remembered at the last moment when it looked like he was going to get in, and I couldn't get that door shut. I was getting frustrated and angry and so on. But I remembered Jesus all of a sudden. Praise God. Stopped him right then and there. Bound him by the name of Jesus. And he was destroyed. I believe that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the power that I just blew him away and woke up in triumph. Do you all understand what God is doing today? He's trying to bring His church through the wilderness. You can't go directly from Egypt to the promised land. That was Israel's mistake. And another mistake they had is while they were going through the wilderness, they murmured. They griped. They complained. No, you're supposed to rejoice. Hallelujah! Yeah, but Pastor, I can't see anything. I know. You don't have to see it. Walk by faith. Yeah, but where is he? No. Don't see it. Don't look for security. Yeah, but look at this manna. Yeah. This is God's provision. Yeah. Yes, rejoice. No. That's the flesh. Your flesh hates God's provision. Eat it. Eat some more. Eat some more until you get used to it. And then what was bitter in your mouth will become sweet in your stomach. Medicine should be bitter. I don't care how much you sugar it up. It should be bitter in the mouth. When you first hear it, the flesh hates it. But it's going to drive out the pathogens. It's going to drive out all of those wicked Girgashites inside of you. All those rebellious tribes inside of you. Till there's no worldliness left and no religion left. Neither license nor legalism. Until you are all before God. Now, this teaching is not only accurate, but if you would study any church, you would find they can't even disagree with this. They got it a little bit wrong, and just enough for it not to produce. You say, well, Pastor, why are we so blessed and privileged to see it in these last days? Because it's the last days. Amen. It's not because I'm a better teacher or know anything. The only thing I know is all the stupid things I would have done that they did, and when I read about it, I realize, well, I'd have done that. Well, I'd have done that. Well, I've done that. I cannot read a stupid person without thinking, you know, that's me. And the more I hear, when I counsel, I don't like counseling, but the more when I counsel, you know what I hear? I just hear me. And I feel sorry for those people. It's like, you are so pathetic. You're exactly like me. And sometimes I laugh because I go, you're going to divorce your husband for that? Whew! Or if my, don't tell my wife. Because I've done 50 times worse than that. And, you know, she, as ignorance is bliss. She doesn't even know that. Don't tell her over that. Just because that little thing went wrong? Huh. How many know that you don't know what you're doing? But God does. And here's God. Here's God's promise, not your promise. Here's God's promise, not your promise. God's promise. I will. The thing I began in you, A, I will surely bring it to pass, completed, perfect. On the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His promise. When He comes back, the bride will be ready. Is she ready today? No. Curlers, bikini, nothing. She's not even close. She hasn't even gotten the photographer yet. She has nothing. But you know, on the day when Jesus comes, it'll come like that. It'll all be put together. So I'm training you now, and when you go through the hard times, you'll start laughing. You'll start saying, you know what? Best thing that ever happened to me. This brings me to a total end of myself. It's exactly what I need. Because I'm a Christian, that's why I'm suffering. Not because Jesus died for me, I don't have to. No, because Jesus died for me, He left me an example, so that when I suffer, I would know how to be like He was. Until I'm perfect in every way to worship Him, to love the brothers, and to love this rotten world with all of its enemies and problems. Without fear. Perfect love casts out fear. There is fear in the church today. There's weakness in the church today. There's arrogance and pride in the church today. There's lust in the church today. It's a mixed church. That's because you're trying to build a Freiwilligkeitskirche out of a Sunday morning church. Can't do it. And I'm not just talking about having house churches, because you can call them whatever you want, but they have to really be house churches, not just ice cream socials to keep your members or invite in your neighbors. No, it's only for believers to get all the sin out of their life and get them dead. Don't invite in other people. Nobody else belongs in there but the people that are loved by God to kill them. That's what He does. As soon as His son is baptized, immediately He takes him into the wilderness to kill him. Jesus, you will have no will but mine, and you're going to have it through the Word. And He defeated the devil like this. It is written, it is written, it is written. And the devil left him. You have to quote the Bible three times to the devil. One scripture won't do it. If you quote the scripture, the devil will quote a scripture right back. You quote another scripture, he'll quote another scripture right back. He is a smart theologian. He knows the theology better than you do. Because he studied it in the right way to pervert it. And you think you'll just hang on to some cool scriptures, you got to defeat him with the third scripture. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. The first scripture is from the Father, the second one from the Son, and the third one is from the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not come just to save you. He came to save you, and then to save you, and then to save you. Three parts to salvation: justification, sanctification, glorification. Until you arrive at the third one, you haven't been saved yet. You are saved A, you are being saved B, and you shall be saved C. It's all yet in the future. Past, present, future. The problem is the present. God is always the I Am. He has no past and He has no future. He is always I Am. So, the best is yet to come. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. I'm learning an awful lot from what I'm teaching right here. Very good. Very good teaching. And I love this teaching. Because I know that I know that I know. This, not having to do with you at all. I don't care if one person was here. I already know by the Holy Spirit, you are going to receive this. I already know that. I know that you're going to hear it and do it. Not just hear it. But be ye doers, see, of the Word. And not hearers only. So today we have hearers of the Word only, Volkskirche people. We don't have Freiwilligkeitskirche people. We have to go through the fire, through the furnace, through the flame. How many are ready?
Amen.
How many are ready? Praise God. It's powerful. The best is yet to come. Always saves the best to the last. Don't be surprised that it's at the end of the world. Kind of like, gee, we just barely get started and then it'll be over. Come on, you want it to be over. There's nothing here. Believe me. Everything that's worthwhile is in the next world. But you could start now there. You could bring future present today. You could make what's coming come. As in heaven, so on earth. So when you pray the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, it's what it's really saying, something like this. Thy kingdom come through me. Thy kingdom come to me. Thy kingdom come in me, as it is in heaven. In other words, the way it is in heaven, let it be on earth. It's not for heaven. Heaven is not for heaven. Heaven is for earth. But we don't have enough heaven on earth. That Catholic thing up there, that's not heaven on earth. That emperor, that's not heaven on earth. And that mystic, that's not heaven on earth. The Word of God that has been preached to you is so that you will come and die. Pastor, I'm ready. Who would like to testify? Who would like to testify? Pastor, I think I'm going through it right now. But I'm willing to go through it with joy. I think I'm going through it right now. Judy? Amen. You also? Praise God. Anyone else who's going through it right now? You're going through hell, holy hell, and you're rejoicing. I can't explain it, but I'm rejoicing. I can't explain it. Anyone else? Yeah? 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 Praise God. The more hell, that means you're loved. If you have hell where you can't get out, you can't move, the devil's got the door and you can't close it, then that's when you cry out, God! Get out of here, Satan, in the name of Jesus. God, come and help me in the name of Jesus. And He'll overthrow the wickedness. Let's start with us, not the world. Don't clean up the world. Clean up yourself. How do you do that? Kill yourself. How can you do that? You can't. Beholding Him, we are dead. That's how you get deaded. By looking at His life, you get your death. The more you see Him, the more you realize, geez, I'm nothing. I'm not like that at all. I need to be humiliated. When you see the power of God coming someday, you will rejoice that it came first to destroy you and then to destroy the powers of this world. Don't get your kids fixed up. Get you fixed up. Don't get your children in the right schools and all that stuff. That's a waste of time. Don't worry about your kids. See, everybody worries about the kids. Oh, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about the kids. Well, you better worry about you because you're the only thing the kids are looking at. And if you don't have the joy, they're not going to have it. And if you don't have the power, they're not going to have it. You need to have that joy, that power, that incredible laughter of faith that Abraham had. That's how you're going to see this world changed and transformed. So, I hope you're blessed today. It'll set you free. But first it has to kill you. That's how it sets you free. Because the fire that destroys is the fire that purifies. The fire that destroys only destroys the flesh. It never destroys the spirit. It purifies the spirit. The spirit, you can't get past the curtain. You see this last one's called the Holy of Holies? You can't get past the curtain of the Holy of Holies, where God wants you to live there forever. You can't get past that until your soul dies and only your spirit goes through. You can't get past it. It's a real thick curtain. You can't get past it. You're not the high priest. Jesus is your high priest. He can go in because He's full spirit. He died with the blood. And He went in with the blood, and the Father accepted Him. But when He was accepted, you were accepted. When He came back out, and He said, it's done. It's done. Then a festal shout went up. This is the pure worship. Hallelujah! That's what God is waiting for. Because it's already been done, and nobody's celebrating. Everybody's looking for the world to fix up. No, you need to die. Don't fix up the world. Die. Then the world will be fixed. You see, God won't do it without you, and you can't do it without Him. He won't do it without you. A, that's Jesus alone. B, that's Jesus doing it in me. C, that's me and Jesus, both in the Spirit, doing it. We're doing it together. First I have to die, though. First I have to be born again. Then I have to be discipled. Then the glory comes. Amen? Why don't we see any glory? Nobody's dead. Nobody's dead. But this church will be first. Unless Dallas beats you. I don't know if Dallas may beat you. I don't know. It's kind of a race. What do you think, Jordan? Think Dallas will beat us or we'll beat them? We got them, hands down. I knew it. That's it. Fort Worth, Fort Worth. God is good. God's good. The best is yet to come. If God could work with you, He could work with anybody. You know, if he could transform you, He could transform anybody. You know what? It's not up to you. It's up to the Word. It's only the Word. It's only the Word. It's only the Word. It's only the Word. Continue in My Word, and you will know the truth. And the truth, which is Jesus, will set you free. Where is Jesus? He's in the Word. Get into the Word. Jesus is the Word. He's the living Word in that written Word. And He's there to meet you, first to kill you, and then to live through you. Paul. All right, God is good. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank You for this Word today. We give You the praise, and now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Woohoo! Did you hear all the yous? It's all for you. Woohoo! God's good.